Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, welcome in. It's a Halloween edition of the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. I cannot hear anything.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I can't hear you. I can't hear the music. So we're just winging it right now.
You could fade the music. Oh, there we go. The
music fading? Just faded. Is it fading, right?
Yep, it's
okay,
fading.
Okay, we're good.
It's fading.
And it's out.
And it's gone.
All right, perfect.
There it is.
Welcome in to a Halloween edition of the Insiders. Here's something that's not going to happen on this program today. Not because I don't like it, but because our show is a little bit truncated, and also a little bit because I don't like it. We're not ranking Halloween candies today.
Oh?
We're not doing a Halloween candy bracket.
Oh.
I don't mind talking Halloween candy. I love candy.
We're not just going to trash candy corn like everyone always does?
Candy corn's mid. It's fine. I don't get why candy corn gets such just this awful bad rap. Like, it's fine. It's not something where I'm like, I need candy corn, but if it's there, I'll just snag some candy corn.
I'm with you. I'm not here for the villainization of candy corn.
It's outrageous.
Yeah.
No, I just, every year on Halloween or the day before, if you know it's on a Saturday, you get all the national radio shows tweet out, here's our Halloween candy rankings. Who has the best rankings? Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Reese's are good. Everybody knows it. Unless you have a peanut butter allergy or a peanut allergy. I'm sorry.
Okay, so the candy bowl. If you walk by the candy bowl, what do you grab?
Reese's, every time.
Okay, so I'm like the little tiny Snickers. Even like the mid-sized Snickers is almost like too much Snickers.
We're so back. I can hear everything again.
Oh, you can hear everything.
Yeah,
All right. We're
so back.
The small Snickers that are like, you know, like this big, those are the best. Because you eat them like
the little
popcorn.
Squares?
Yeah, because you eat them like popcorn.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's just like, oh.
See, those make me feel bad, though. Because next thing I know, I've eaten 12 of them.
Oh, no, that happens. That happens.
I know it does.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I like to go and raid, you know, because I have boys and like I've always gone in and like taken what I want out of their candy bag.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't take it all, but I'm like, hey, I need a couple of pieces of candy and I'm going to take this, and this. And they're always down with it.
Yeah, man. The new candy thing I'm on, because we have our candy like tub, like container in our pantry.
Okay.
And it's just filled with a lot of stuff from like England that we brought back when we went and just, you know, you get if there's leftover candy today at work and they're like, yeah, take some, I'll just take it home and throw it in there. And then, you know, when the urge strikes, my new favorite thing to have in that bin, it was Sour Patch Watermelons. I love a Sour Patch Watermelon. Fantastic.
Okay.
The Nerds Clusters.
Oh, you brought those to the game the other night.
Bro.
They were good.
Fantastic, right?
But Sean got a whole handful and I got three.
Yeah, that was my bad. You could have asked for more.
I got distracted by the game.
You could have
Sean's got like two handfuls.
I didn't want to start dumping stuff on your computer. And then I think what happened was I was really worried about dumping out like the whole bag into your hands and then we've got a mess. So you got a couple, and then when Sean reached out, the residual ones that I was trying to get to you all fell out.
Yes.
That's my bad.
Yeah. It's all right.
Because
it's all right.
It's not, it wasn't a preference thing. It was, I'm trying to not make a scene in this tiny area of press row that we get to sit.
Yeah, and I think that I'd already got a hot apple cider, so I didn't need any more sugar. So, I was good.
Yeah. We're going to talk about, so that's our candy segment for today.
That's it?
Love candy.
We love candy.
We're not going to rank them. We're not doing a bracket.
Nope.
We're not doing it. We are gonna hand out candy for the second time ever this year, though.
Oh.
Because we had not, so we bought our house in October of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So that Halloween, it was, man, we're barely moved into this house. Like we still got boxes stacked everywhere. We're not going to sit and hand out candy. So we didn't. And then we were gone a couple of the years. And then one of the years we forgot and just didn't get Halloween candy. So last year we committed to it. We're like, we are sitting and handing out candy. We don't even know if there's kids in our neighborhood, though. Our neighborhood's very quiet.
This is funny because this is the first time I can remember us having the same conversation 2 years in a row. Because that means we've been on the show for over a year. But we had this conversation last year because you were very, very concerned mm-hmm. about whether kids would come to your door or not. And you were worried about like the mm-hmm. whole environment.
Yes.
And it was a success.
Great.
Right? No, it was last year.
Yes.
And now
it
this
was outstanding.
Year. Yeah, this year you're like in again.
I'm fired up. We got our little camping folding chairs. We're going to put those out. Going to open a couple of beers and we're going to sit there with a bucket of candy. Every kid's super respectful. Every parent super nice. It was great.
Amazing.
I'm really looking forward to doing it again this year.
That's right.
Like we made plans for Friday that could have been done Thursday. We were like, now we got to hand out candy.
All right.
I'm really looking forward to it. Now that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. If you've missed it, we're dressed as D'Lo and KC today. The thing with the D'Lo outfit is, one, I have a beanie on right now because I'm bald and my head is cold.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not part of the costume. Also, the key to a D'Lo outfit is what's happening with pants and shoes.
Yes, it's from the knees down.
Right. Knees down,
yes.
is where the magic happens.
The same with Casey.
Outfit.
I mean,
No, Casey for sure. But Casey's got it's not a doubt who you are.
Yes.
With D'Lo, it's like, oh, I could be kind of anything right now.
Yeah.
But I've got my little man purse. I've got
your peach jacket.
I've got my peach jacket. And this is on a budget. I wasn't going to go all out to dress up for half a day at work. And then I've got my pants where my ankles are showing, and then I'm wearing Jordans that were actually given to me by D'Lo. So
I have also the short pant look at the bottom with some velvety slip-ons.
I love those.
The Goodwill.
Very good.
Yeah, I found
They're
it at the Goodwill
strong,
yesterday.
They're very strong, the loafers.
Yeah.
And your sunglasses are A+. I was felt really good because everybody, so when I was walking in, everybody's going to know who you are.
Yeah.
When I was walking in, I was like, I don't know if anybody's going to know. I also wore some extra rings today. I just kind of felt like that was the thing I had to do. So when I was walking in, I was like, I'm afraid nobody's going to know what I am or who I am.
Yeah.
And that I'm just going to look like when I go and I'm like, yeah, I'm in the costume contest. And everyone's like, what are you? What is this? But everybody knew immediately.
Yep.
Everybody's like, oh my God. And obviously the same for you. I felt really good about our chances to win because our initial plan, because we have a chili cook-off today that you're in, I'm voting for yours number one.
That's right.
Just flat out, like off the rip.
That's right.
Like you got to have the homies back. So I got you. But unless there's one that's like really better, but no, so there's a costume contest too. And I was going to be Monty McNair. For obvious reasons.
Yes.
And James was going to be Wes Wilcox for obvious reasons.
That's right.
I just recently got a puffy vest and I was ready to go.
Okay.
But then Katie from the wake up call goes, hey, are you guys going to be D'Lo and Casey?
That's where this idea came from.
Yeah. And I was like, damn, we should be, because that then triggered in my mind. I was like, nobody's going to know who Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox are.
Well, the a lot of people will, because they're all, a lot of people are Kings fans, so they'll know.
Right. People on the stream will know, but people on the stream aren't voting.
I did tell Wes the other day that we were contemplating being him and Monty for Halloween, but that we had switched like to do the D'Lo and Casey thing. I did. He's like, oh, that would have been good. And
maybe we'll just pull up to a game like that.
That we should. We should just pull up to a game and stand courtside.
Like, you know what? I'm going to.
We should do this.
Next game I go to, 100%. I'm doing it.
We should totally do this.
1,000% doing it. So we have this costume contest, and I felt so good because the reason we didn't go with Monty and Wes is because, like, hey, nobody's going to know who those guys are. Nobody in here who's voting is going to know.
No, no. No one in here will know at all. They have no idea.
D'Lo and KC will. Jesse will.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who else out there? Maybe.
Like, yeah, it's like we dressed as like Jim Harbaugh, yeah, and we wore khakis and a polo.
Yeah.
So, no one would get it.
Right. So we'd have to have like pictures up. It'd be a whole thing. I was like, D'Lo and Casey, we could win if we go as D'Lo and Casey and pull this off. And I think we have. Like I said, if you saw my whole outfit, you'd get it. Mm-hmm. But I went down to show Katie, like, look, we're D'Lo and Casey. And I walk in there. First of all, chaos.
Well, their show is always chaos.
I walk in there. There's makeup everywhere. We've got Kevin in a dress.
Yeah, I was going to ask, who's the makeup for?
We've got Katie in a dress with staples on her face. We've got Gavin shirtless, wearing a wig and makeup.
No.
And nobody was like, oh, hey, sorry about it. Like it's normal? Can you, if I walked in here and anybody was not wearing a shirt, it would be like, whoa, but stop the tape. What's going on?
Yeah.
I walk in there and it's like, oh, good morning. And just going about their business. Anyways, all of this is to say the wake up call looks incredible. I can't wait for everybody to see photos. They look amazing. We're not going to win. That's the moral of that story.
Maybe.
I don't think we have any chance.
Maybe we don't, but I have faith in the good people.
I hope so. I hope that people understand like what and get the bit of like,
yes, it's one
you
thing.
You and I are very different from D'Lo and KC.
Yes.
I don't know if anyone's ever noticed.
Yeah.
We were quite different.
It's one thing to do like a costume that's outside of the work, you know, like to do something mainstream. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, their stuff is good, right? But to go as Dracula or to go as, like, they're, one of them's Beetlejuice, right? Like,
I am not at liberty to say.
Okay. Whatever it is that they are, like, it's one thing to be something outside. But if you're going to be, like, a character from inside of your own studio,
right?
I think that should get us more points.
And I feel like we nailed it.
I do.
I feel really good about it.
I do, too.
All right.
Damien just hit you?
Yeah, he did. He said he had to check his closet to see if this was his jacket. Damien, your jacket would not fit me at all. I promise. Gina, I've got these sunglasses that I can't wear because they're polarized in whatever the polarization is, makes it so my computer screen goes black.
Yeah.
And I can't see anything. So I was wearing those earlier. And Gina, who works with our sales staff here, she goes, oh, you should have stolen a pair of Damien's glasses. Like, what? No!
You don't wear another man's glasses?
Are you insane? Are you going to steal his glasses? No chance.
I have this guy.
These work fine.
I have this guy at the Ace Hardware down the street. Mm-hmm. He just grabs a pair of readers off the rack every day and puts them on. And then it still has a price tag in the middle, and he walks around the store, and he works there.
That's
and then you can see that he loses some, and he goes and gets another pair, because if you go back multiple times, you know those days where
Hilarious. You're
at the hardware store like 17 times? I don't know if that's ever happened to you.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Where you're fixing something, but you just keep needing another part, and you keep going back. Right? Mm-hmm. Every time you go in, he's got a different pair of glasses, or he's got three pairs because he forgot that he has one on top of his head. The worst part is, they're the ones off the rack. So someone's going to buy those eventually, the glasses that he's been wearing the whole time. But it is what it is.
I kind of respect it.
I do too.
When I worked at the movie theater, I'd wear the safety goggles. And I would just, because they were meant for when you're doing like a deep clean of the popcorn machine or whatever. So you don't get, and I found them one day and just put them on. I was just wearing them while I was scooping popcorn and doing that. And then a manager come over and, you know, customers walking out like, oh, I like your guy. You know, oh, hey, we're having a good time. I had a manager come over and was like, you need to take those off. They're not professional.
Oh, no.
Like, doc, I am 18 years old working in a movie theater. I'm not gunning for professionalism here. We're having a good time.
We lost that.
Yeah. Anyways.
Should we talk sports?
Yeah, we've got some stuff to talk about. The Los Angeles Dodgers, congratulations to the LA Dodgers, the winners of the 2024 World Series. They win in five games. They came back from 5-0 down last night.
Impressive.
To beat the Yankees 7-6 at Yankee Stadium with Gerrit Cole on the mound. Two errors really in the fifth inning, where Aaron Judge drops a pop up. Anthony Volpe makes the bad throw to third base, and then Gerrit Cole fails to cover first base on a grounder to the right side, and all of a sudden, we have a tie game. And the Yankees go back up 6-5. The Dodgers retake the lead at 7-6 with a couple of sacrifice flies, and they go on to win. And it was pretty incredible because we are still... There has never been a World Series where it has been a 3-0 series and it's gotten to a game six. Game five is the latest a World Series has gone.
Ever.
When a team is up 3-0.
Yep.
I have a few things from this series overall. One, I feel bad for the folks who said I'm not watching it.
It was a great series.
I was rooting for Shohei. I'm a big Shohei guy, so I wanted to see the Dodgers win for him. But I wasn't going to be devastated if the Dodgers... I didn't care that much. But it was... Because that Freddie Freeman grand slam in game one is now an all-time MLB moment.
Mm-hmm.
That is Kirk Gibson's home run, the one we always see, was game one of the 88 World Series. That was game one. It swung that series just like the Freddie Freeman home run last Friday?
Yeah.
Swung that series. And for me, that now becomes a, like, where were you when this happened sports moment. And it's really cool when those happen.
Yeah, what I'm hoping is that it replaces a Kirk Gibson home run because I hate seeing that. I hate it because I know exactly where I was. We were building a house, our house that we were going to live in. And I was outside listening to the game on the radio with my dad, and we were building the subfloor on the house. So it was pitch black. We had lights out everywhere. I mean, it had to be like 9 o'clock at night or whatever it was because it was late in the game. And I'm like, we got to the ninth. I'm like, hey, I'm going to run inside and go watch. Run inside. I make the family turn the TV to the game and crack. Just devastated.
Brutal, dude.
Yep.
That home run is so bad. I wasn't even alive. October 88.
Yeah.
I'm a bad son. And I'm not sure if my parents got married in 88 or 89.
Okay.
But they may or may not have been married yet. I hope to receive a text from one of them confirming. But I was not around. Yet still, when I see that highlight, I'm like, eh, I turn it off. I wasn't even alive. I was not.
Watching him round second base, like
doing the fist pumps,
pulling the lawnmower cord. Like, one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen.
It's brutal, dude.
I just, like, as an A's fan, just absolutely ripped your soul out. Just brutal. So I'm hoping that the Freddie Freeman home, which was spectacular.
I hadn't even considered that. I hadn't even considered that will now be the...
God, I hope so.
The one.
I really hope it replaces it. Like, Kirk Gibson can go away forever. Like, I don't want to see that ever again. Because now I have no stake in it. I had no stake in it because... My team wasn't facing the Dodgers.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you see it, you're like, oh. I mean, for me, and the other thing about that moment, when they go to the end of the game and, you know, Freddie Freeman goes over and hugs his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes over for the post game.
Uh-huh.
And for him to stand there and say, you know, for all the times in the backyard, that's for my dad.
Yeah.
One of the greatest moments ever because so many parents understand that when you like are all in on a comp team or you're all in on your kids, whatever, whether it's gymnastics or being a ballerina or whatever it is, there comes a moment where they don't get to do it anymore. And it's like the most soul crushing thing because you as a parent did so much as well. Like the kids are out there playing and having their thing, but they don't understand how many Airbnbs you had to go buy it.
Oh, dude.
And how many you searched through.
How many Hojos
you
we stayed at.
Yeah. How many like meals that you planned for the team.
Yeah.
How many times you had to go like figure out how to buy uniforms and all this stuff. There's so much that goes into it. And then it just ends, and it's such a big part of like who your family is and everything. So for Freddie Freeman to have that moment, but then to be able to like finish it off for his dad, because that, cause
really
that's
cool.
Like, that's, he's 35 years old, right? It's not like he's got a bunch of these left in him.
Yeah.
And so they, the Freemans have got to live this dream forever and to, you know, sort of cap it off like this is just absolutely amazing.
And to have that be the first of a bunch of home runs he hit in the World Series.
Oh, he was so good.
It was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Do you have any good, you'll always remember where you were when sports moments?
No, I mean, I think that in
like
life,
I'd like to palate cleanse the Kirk Gibson one.
Well, you have those things, right? Like, where were you in? I remember watching the catch, which was was incredible.
Yeah.
That's when like I solidified, like I have family members that were Raiders fans and family members that were 49ers fans. That's the moment you became a 49ers fan for my age.
Sure.
I was young. I don't know. Like, I mean, I think there's always moments like in fifth grade, they wheeled in TVs and we were all watching the space shuttle.
Yeah.
That did not, that blew up. Yeah. So it became like
Challenger?
Yeah, it became like a horrible thing. So there's always these moments, where were you when? The OJ driving down.
I was looking for some nice moments.
Yeah, I try to think of good moments. the best is going to be the Joe Montana, Dwight Clark.
The one, there, we've had a couple this year. The Freddie Freeman home run was standing in a tattoo shop watching on my phone. I'd been tracking game updates on my phone because I didn't want to like, there's movies on, people are talking, I'm getting my arm done. So I didn't want to be like sitting there zoned out watching a baseball game, but I was checking the updates. So we had gotten done right about the time Shohei was coming up there in the, was that the 10th? Is it the 10th inning?
Yeah, I think it was.
The 10th? And it was right about the time Shohei was coming up. So I was like, oh man, I want to get this Shohei at bat. So turned it on. And then the gold medal game this year, the men's gold medal game, USA and France, with Steph going off the way he did, that'll be an all-timer. And then, does it count if you were at the game?
Well, yeah, because that's the one that popped in. I was at the game when Jeter made the play at home.
Yeah,
I was like lined up. It was like right below me. I was watching it unfold. Like, what is Jeter doing? And then you just see catch and throw. Like, what?
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think that counts though. Where were you when? God, I'll never forget. I was at the game. Like, of course. Because I was at the Alex Smith to Vernon Davis touchdown against the Saints in the 2011 divisional playoff game. Well, January of 2012, but 2011 season. And then in 2013, the last game at Candlestick when Navarro Bowman had the pick six, was in there with mom for both of those.
Okay.
But you're at the game. Like, of course you're going to remember where you were.
Well, that and, like, I was there when when Tyreek Evans hits the half court shot, and it was, we were upstairs in the media box.
Oh yeah.
My first season, and I was with Zach Harper and we watched it and we both started leaning like, oh, that's got a shot. And then boom, like the whole place
that's
lights
incredible.
Up. Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
Oh, David says another one for him was when Bo Jackson ran through the tunnel after scoring a touchdown.
Oh,
that's fun. That's a good one. Wild. Yeah, man. That was, I'm so happy that Freddie Freeman homer turned into something and not just a, oh yeah, the Yankees went on to win in six. But it's, I wasn't around in 88, but my dad has talked to me about this, how the reason the Kirk Gibson home run was so crushing was A, because of how he looked, hobbling to the plate. The first two swings and misses were like, oh my God, like you feel bad for the guy.
Well, that's why the Freddie Freeman comparison doesn't really match up, because Freddie Freeman looked pretty.
Freddie Freeman,
he looked fine, and then he goes on to hit a whole bunch of
former MVP. No,
Kirk
really
Gibson is out there literally on one leg.
Yeah,
I mean,
man,
he couldn't even hardly walk.
Right, which is why that moment was so incredible.
Yeah.
But it's like that home run happens, and you go, "Oh, the series is over.
Mm-hmm.
They're not bouncing back from this." And I think that's kind of what happened with the Yankees. Like, dang, you lose that game in that fashion, And then you immediately go down 4-1 in the next game. It's like, man, just not our series. And when you're when that happens mentally, I just don't think you can lock back in.
Yeah, the series, both series, they really mirrored that 88 series.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, very much so. I think the one other good memory I have of sports was McGuire chasing Maris's 61. Mm-hmm. And watching him and Sammy Sosa going back and forth was absolutely spectacular. But then they had the Maris's there. They had, mm-hmm. Rogers, his wife and his son.
I think.
There when he hits a home run. It's just this dramatic thing.
Yeah.
Especially as watching McGuire from the time he came into the league and, mm-hmm. him grow into a great player. Yeah. It was very dramatic to watch.
Yeah, that was that summer, that 98 summer was like, I'd always been into baseball and I'd always liked baseball because I was 8 that summer.
Yeah.
So, and into that fall. And that was what was really like captivating because that wasn't just the A's weren't very good through the mid to late 90s. But that summer was like every day, it's like, oh, Sosa hit 2. Oh, McGuire hit 2. Oh, Sosa hit one today, but McGuire didn't. And that was, yeah, man. I don't remember exactly where I was for 62 or 70. But I do remember that summer very vividly.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where when someone says, oh, they saved baseball, there's no doubt they saved baseball. Like, baseball was spiraling.
Yeah, after the 94 strike.
Yeah, and it really couldn't find its footing again. And then to have these two dudes, from totally different walks of life,
mm-hmm.
just having a home run derby, it was absolutely spectacular. It was captivating.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in Berkeley at the time. Everyone was watching every single game to see what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely amazing.
That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We have a Kings question that you asked yesterday that I wanted to make sure that we get to. We'll get to that. The NFL trade deadline is coming up. I want to talk about what San Francisco may or may not do at the trade deadline. And then we've got a bunch of NBA action from last night to get to as well. But before we do any of that, Thursday Night Football, week nine of the NFL season kicks off tonight. The Jets are in primetime again. And you can't flex it, right? You can't flex a Thursday night game. This was pre-scheduled. They're going to be on primetime. I can't decide if I want to avoid feeding the Jets ratings machine or if I want to watch the train wreck continue. I can't decide where I'm landing. Because I think that's what's... Like, the Jets aren't interesting. They're just not good.
Not at all.
They're not a good team.
I think I am here to watch the fail. I am. I don't like what they did to Robert Saleh. Whether he's a good coach or not, head coach, he's a great coach, but whether he's a good head coach or not, I think still out there. I mean, like last year, you can't really hold against him. This year, they get off to a bad start, but it's very possible that last year, that the quarterback they have this year is just about as bad as it was last year.
Yeah.
That Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't have it.
They're worse than they were last year.
Yeah.
That's so hard to do. They were terrible.
Everyone, Aaron Rodgers will be back. It'll fix everything. Let's put him on TV all the time.
I can't get over the fact that it felt like we were the only people, we ESPN 1320.
Yeah.
And much of the chatty house. It felt like we were the only people who went, hey, are we sure Aaron Rodgers is still good?
Yeah.
Are we sold on this? And the fact that everybody just went, like, so many national people, and I know Mike Greenberg's a Jets fan, but the fact that Mike Greenberg and all these other people were just like, yeah, picking the Jets, Super Bowl. Can we watch Aaron Rodgers play a game first?
Yeah.
Can you watch the 40-year-old coming off an Achilles tear who wasn't very good his last season, full season that he did play? Can we make sure he's good before we start calling him a Super Bowl winner?
Well, that and on top of it,
it's insane.
Like, as a character, because that's what a lot of this is. It's like they found a character. Like, he is French lunatic on so many things that you're like, what are we doing getting so far behind this guy after an Achilles tear at 40 plus years old?
Insane.
And putting him on TV all the time like this is what everyone wants.
Totally insane.
It wasn't. It wasn't what everybody wants, and it's certainly at this point not what anyone wants.
No.
Nobody wants to see them again on national TV.
Not at all. All right. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Do the Kings have a big three? And if they do, are they in a championship window right now? We'll talk about that next here on the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
No, it's good. No, it's good. Get your stuff off. It's my D-Lo. No, it's good.
It's good. It's good. We're fine.
Hey! James Hamm there. Kyle Madsen here. We dressed up as D-Lo and KC today for Halloween. We are entered in the office costume contest.
That's right.
And I don't know if you saw Kevin from the wake-up call walk by during the break. It's like, I put a small amount of work into my costume. I ordered this jacket, and that's the extent of it. I did not spend a lot of money on the jacket because I may never wear it again. So that was the bit. You went and you committed, and you went to three stores yesterday?
Three stores. I went to Spirit.
Yeah.
Then I went to the Goodwill to find shoes. And then I stopped at Ross so I could dress for less. That's where I was able to find a turtleneck, because turtlenecks are not widely found everywhere now. So, but if you're going to do a Kenny costume, you have to have a turtleneck.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's imperative for sure. Yeah. I feel like you committed more than I did to the bit. Kevin from the wake up call is like the entire wake up call staff. It's like there's levels to this.
Yeah.
No, there's the bottom feeders, right? That's the people. And I'm relating this to the NBA. You have the people on Cooper Flag Watch, the teams on Cooper Flag Watch. That's our guy, Karoche. Karoche is here in his normal outfit, but he is wearing this like Disneyland string light up necklace thing.
Oh, okay.
He's on Cooper Flag Watch. He didn't try. Then you've got people like me. I'm a playoff team, or I'm a play-in team. I'm on that okay. Fringe, right? I'm not going to be on Cooper Flag Watch because my front office thinks that we can compete, get into the play-in tournament, and if you get into the play-in tournament, anything can happen. I'm the Bulls from last year. you are that like playoff team. You're firmly a top six team, but you know what? Hey, you might win a round. Just depends on a matchup. Nah.
Did you see Sylvia? She's in it. Sylvia came as Frida.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
She's in the next tier.
Yeah, she is.
She's in that championship contender tier.
Mm-hmm.
She and the wake-up call are in that title contender tier today.
Yep.
You're in the tier below that. I'm in the tier below that. Yeah. I feel good about it.
See, the way I look at like the way we're dressed is we're more in that tier of like the 3, 4, 5 that has potential to make it. We're the Dallas Mavericks of this story. Mm. We could make it to the championship, Kyle.
Oh, you're saying us together.
Yeah, and once we make it to the championship, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Anything can happen, Kyle.
Yeah.
I'm in God mode.
That's right. I think, you know, and next thing we have to talk about is how many times the 49ers should have won an NFL championship.
Yeah.
Because it's at least 43.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledge
That's
me.
That's right.
Okay. Lake Show.
All right. That was Lake Show.
There you go.
I need you to say it again while I'm not talking.
Okay. Lake Show.
Perfect. Thank you.
There you go. Now it's in there.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
All right, I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna get back to our buttons here.
Let's do this.
We have stuff to talk about, and we're getting there. We're getting sidetracked with Halloween.
Oh my gosh, they're so unserious.
So, you wrote in the rundown yesterday. The rundown is our sheet of paper where we prepare the show. You wrote the question, do the Kings have a big three? And you wrote Sabonis, Fox, and DeRozan. They look good early on. Do they have the pieces to make it work long term? And I think in the context of a big three, I think yes. When you have three guys that are 20 points a night, you have a guy like Sabonis who's a walking triple double, and you have a guy like De'Aaron Fox, who could average 27 and 10. Like, yeah, you've got it. You've done it.
Mm-hmm.
The question for me is less, do they have a big three? And more like, okay, if they do, then you need to be inside of a championship window. Because DeMar DeRozan's 35 years old.
Yes.
This is not, if, let's just, it, don't, suspend disbelief for a second. Remove DeMar DeRozan, and Keegan Murray is DeMar DeRozan. Keegan Murray at his age is 20 a night, can distribute a little bit, go-to player, high usage player. That's so we're including now. Like, yeah, this window's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
You have three players who are well under 30, who are either entering their prime or in the middle of their prime. Like, yep, it's now, and you have this extended window theoretically. With DeMar DeRozan, you're looking at 3 years max. If this is the big three, it, to me, that means you're pushing chips in. You're going for it now.
No, I totally agree. And that's where I think we keep coming back to, hey, you know, you're a piece or two away. Like, you know that you need to do this. You need to go find this type of player if you're going to take the next step. Like, we keep saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we can see the same thing. Like, I agree with you, Kyle. I agree that they are on the cusp of something.
Yeah.
They are right there, but we're not quite sure that they have all the pieces. So I do think at this point that right now I look at this team and they do have a big three.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade.
I don't think we're ever going to see that again, by the way.
No.
I think the era of the super team is mostly over, and I think Kevin Durant killed it.
Oh no, I think so too.
The reaction to Kevin Durant leaving Oklahoma City and joining Golden State,
mm-hmm,
was, I think, so negative, and I think it has adversely impacted his career to the point that players like Giannis, Luka, maybe even Zion, are looking at their Wemby are looking at their situations and going, I'd rather just stay here.
Yeah, I can see that, man. And I also think that there's a possibility that, like, if you look at the way, like, the negativity has hit him,
mm-hmm.
he's gone from a guy who I think a lot of people were willing to put him in a top 10 player of all time
mm-hmm.
to, like, he's more of an afterthought in that conversation now because of the way it happened. Because of, and I don't think it's fair because I think everyone was doing it. Like, all the kids, cool kids were doing it, so why is it not okay for Kevin Durant to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, he is the guy that gets all the backlash, where, come on, LeBron and Chris Bosh joining forces with Dwayne Wade in Miami, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that, to me, that big three is probably the most artificial big three.
Yeah.
Durant joining the Warriors. Like, again, he did that because he was so tired of being on an island, and if his team won, he got the praise, and if his team lost, he's a bum and it's all on him.
Yeah.
And it was every single night of that for years where it was Kevin Durant or bust. And what, so I get it.
What was the newspaper? Mr. Unreliable?
Was it
the Oklahoma City newspaper?
Oh, yeah.
Front page with the big headline? Like, that's tough.
No, all of it. I mean, like, people that you talk to every day as media members,
mm-hmm.
when he was gone from there, they roasted him.
Yeah.
Roasted him.
Yeah, man.
And it's like, hey, like, we're not friends, but, like, we've been, like, cordial people that have to work together and have conversations every day, and now you're going to, like, burn me to the ground?
Yeah.
Like, ooh.
I do think it's interesting how, and we'll get this back to the Kings here in a second, but LeBron got his first title, was first two titles there in Miami. And then he goes and he gets one in Cleveland, and now he's gone and he's got one in LA. I'm really interested to see how, because that, like, for, okay, he's got his rings. He did the thing. Would he have gotten rings if he had stayed in Cleveland his whole career? Who knows? Like, I have no idea. But I'm interested to see how, in the context of, like, ring culture, how Dame's career in 10, 15, 20 years is viewed. Because I don't think Damian Lillard is going to win a ring. At least not as a primary dude on his team.
I would agree with you.
So I don't think he's ever going to get there as that dude. But is it like, oh, but respect to him for sticking it out in Portland, because he stayed in Portland through his prime. And now he's, you know, he's still awesome, but not quite the player that he was when he was leading those Portland teams to deep playoff runs. Or is it just that goes by the wayside, and, like, yeah, hey, Dame just never won a ring. He can't be in that upper echelon of great player because of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I'm with you. I don't know where you put him in the upper echelon anyways. Like, mm-hmm. he's a guy who had a really, really good run as a top-tier scorer.
Mm-hmm.
But he only made it to the Western Conference Championship, like, one time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't want to be disrespectful, but, like, what's the difference between him and Trae Young? What's the difference? Like,
between Dame and Trae Young?
Yeah. I mean, like, you instantly are like, I can tell, like, your first instinct is go, what are you talking about?
Probably just because Dame's done it for longer. Like, I think that's probably the extent of it.
But at what point does Trae Young kind of enter that conversation? He made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. He did. He made it to the Eastern Conference Finals with Atlanta. Look at his points per game. Look at his assists per game. Like, so we hold some guys in such high esteem and others we don't. And whatever reason that is, it's tough because I think that, like, some guys just have the charisma, or that some guys, like, we glob onto them and they become stars where others don't. And I mm-hmm. think, you know, it's kind of the same thing we deal with De'Aaron Fox here in Sacramento. Like, how is it that Tyrese Halliburton is so beloved nationally? How is it that Donovan Mitchell is considered, you know, player X, or, again, Anthony Edwards, but De'Aaron Fox isn't? And there is no rhyme or reason to it. Sometimes it's a market, but Minnesota isn't that much. It's a big market, but it's not nearly as big as, like,
sure,
like New York or something. Yeah. But we consider him this, but Fox hasn't reached that plateau. It's just kind of sports. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Like,
I think Securena Bagley brought up an interesting point in the chatty house and basically said, like, Dame ran up against the Warriors. Like prime Dame was, peak Dame was 2015 through 2019.
Okay, but I'm going to give you that.
I think
for
that's
Utah
it.
Jazz. I'm going to give you that for Karl Malone and John Stockton that sure. they ran up against the Chicago Bulls.
Sure.
And
same thing
Michael
with Charles
Jordan.
Barkley.
Yeah, and Charles Barkley, and the same thing with Patrick Ewing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you ran up against like a buzzsaw.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dame got there to the West Conference Finals one time. Like, yeah. It's not like he was able to get to the finals.
I feel like though, and I could just be misremembering here, but it felt to me like, oops, how does Basketball Reference not let me type in Dame and get me to Damian Lillard? It felt to me like, yeah, they were in the playoffs every year. The Hawks are not in the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
Portland was regularly a very good team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they weren't a top tier. They were, I mean, most of those years, even the year they made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals, that was unexpected.
Trae's been in the playoffs three times, and he's gotten out of the first round once.
No, I get you, but like compare the numbers, 25.5 and 9.5 assists. Like, is he as good a shooter? No.
I know. I'm saying I think Dame's more impactful.
Yeah. No, I would agree, but by what degree?
I don't know.
We're not talking about like a guy who's got the team over the hump, and I'm not trying to disparage Damian Lillard. I'm just saying like there are certain guys in the league that like instantly become like cult heroes and others that don't.
Sure. I think one of the big differences is if Trae Young and the Hawks start going to the playoffs every year, and because with the Blazers, it was always wing play, right?
Mm-hmm.
At first, it was LaMarcus Aldridge, and then they had Nurkic, and it was like, man, they have these and CJ McCollum was obviously there as well.
Yep.
But it was like Allen Crabb was supposed to be that dude.
Yeah. I mean, they had Robert Covington.
Yeah. Rocco, I guess, was there for a little bit, but they never had, it was always that. Like, man, they are a piece or two away from getting over, and they just never had it. So maybe if Trae Young and the Hawks start making the playoffs every single year, and he is the bona fide number one guy on that team,
mm-hmm.
and they make another Eastern Conference Finals run, and basically if his career shakes out like Dame's, then maybe I'd view it differently. But I just right now, I again, I don't have a empirical data to back this up, but I just feel like Dame is a way more impactful player.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you, but mm-hmm. again, I don't know that by what degree.
Sure.
You know, and I would say like while we're sitting here talking about Damian Lillard and sort of that team, right? Like the CJ McCollum, they've got a bunch of former Kings on that team. Just totally bizarre. I mean, like, I don't even know. Seth Curry, first of all.
Of course.
Mo Harkless.
Oh.
Scalabissiere.
This is the team that went to the conference finals?
Yeah. Nick Stauskas. Caleb Swanigan. Gary Trent was drafted by the Kings.
Caleb Swanigan. That's a pull.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I was going to make the point that that team right there, if they had LaMarcus Aldridge, which they did not,
mm-hmm.
if they had Aldridge, but the trio of Lillard, McCollum, and Aldridge, that kind of reminds me of the Kings right now.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So yeah. If you're going to have a big three, it's that group. And then it's like, what do you have around them? How do you build around them? And I think what would separate the Kings right now mm-hmm. and give me at least a little bit of positivity is that I think the group around the Kings' big three is better than a lot of other teams' group. Like the fact that you have Keegan Murray, who is a solid 15 to 18 points per game guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you have one of the best six men in the league in Malik Monk that's going to post 15 points per game. The fact that you have Kevin Huerter, like, who averaged 15 points a game 2 years ago. Like, all of a sudden you're looking at a team that's very well-rounded and very versatile offensively and can score. Like, again, we'll get to whether they can defend or not.
Sure.
Or maybe we won't. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But to me, like, the question that we ask is, do they have a big three? I think they do. They're the only current team with three players averaging over 20 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
And then are the other pieces good enough? Maybe you don't have the full depth that you need to be that good. And maybe you're missing a piece or two, but I still think the talent level of who they do have is really high.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but the question for me is not do they have a big three, because they do.
Yeah.
And if you want to argue against that, I go for it, I guess. But if that's the case, if you're like, yep, this is a bona fide quote unquote big three, then you have to be a title contender now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a lot of years here where DeMar DeRozan is going to be part of that. And so the question for me is, you just listed out, hey, Keon Ellis has carved out a really nice niche, and we saw last year and then in Utah how impactful he can be without putting points on the board, and that's a really valuable asset to have coming off your bench if you're going to be a title contender. That's great. Kevin Herter can shoot the leather off the ball. We all know that. Malik Monk should be the sixth man of the year, should be the reigning sixth man of the year, and is the
favorite.
Should
be the two-time reigning sixth man of the year.
And is the favorite to win that award again. Where are they falling short? Why aren't they in that conversation with Dallas or Oklahoma City or Minnesota or Denver in the West?
It's a good question, especially since the one piece that we keep talking about them missing is really a tertiary piece. It's like an eighth man or ninth man in the rotation piece, another guy that can come in and defend, long athletic that can defend wings. We're not talking about a starter.
So that's that. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, but I mean, you get what I'm saying? It's like I don't know why they're not considered that, but the fact is they have to do it. And after winning 48, they took a step back and won 46. Mm-hmm. And we can point to all of these reasons why they didn't win 50 and how they could have easily won 50. But the fact is they did not. Yeah. And so it's on them to prove that who they are is a team that is a contender. It's not, we can't anoint them as a contender because there's been a lot of paper champions.
Yeah, man.
Right? A lot of big threes. Think how many times the Knicks put together a big three that wasn't a big three.
Or the Nets.
Yeah. Or how many times those teams, when they assembled a big three, and maybe their big three is a higher end big three than what the Kings have. Like the just overall like talent is a little bit higher than what the Kings have.
Mm-hmm.
They never had the collection of players around them that the Kings have right now, which is where I think, like, look, they've done a good job, but you can still see the hole. You can still see like where they need one more piece. And if they could find that one more piece, well, what do you have to give up to get that piece? And like, how do you do it?
That's it.
Yeah.
Like that's what you need. And I kind of disagree that it can be the ninth guy. I think that if you're going to be a title contender, I think that person has to be more than behind Trey Lyles coming off the bench.
Okay, but what if it's a player right before Trey Lyles coming off the bench, or a player right before the Keon Ellis, Trey Lyles grouping that coming off the bench? So it's you got your starting five, you got Malik Monk. What if it's the sixth guy, the seventh guy?
Who do you have in mind? Like if you had, forget contracts, forget if the player's available. I am the czar of basketball, and I am letting the Kings take one player off a roster. Like, who's the ideal?
Well, I mean, like, without going ridiculous, like, hey, yeah, if they had Anthony Davis to go right next to. So if I keep coming back to Bobby Portis. Like, it's a guy who can play defense, who can block shots, who can rebound, who can hit a three, who can play with Sabonis, who can play without Sabonis as a center. Who brings toughness and intensity and defense. That would be probably, like, whether he fits personality-wise, I don't know. I don't know Bobby Portis. Like,
sure.
You know, he hasn't been in the King's circle for, like, ever. So, but that would be the type of player, and I don't know if they can find him.
The wake-up call just walked by, I'm sorry, and they were pointing at us.
Yeah.
Anyways.
They're ridiculous.
Look at Kevin. Look at him.
Oh my gosh, Kevin.
You look amazing. Okay, so you have to let Kevin know that he looks great because he's very concerned that nobody's going to know who he is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that he's just out there rocking a dress.
Okay.
So you got to let him know. Yeah, man, I like the Bobby Portis idea. I love that. But at the same time, like you said, who are you giving up to get him? Well, all of a sudden you're not the calculus changes to get the same answer about like, oh God, it feels like you have to give up Kevin Herter to do that. Now you're like, oh man, hey, they probably need another shooter.
Yeah.
And right. that's kind of the push pull. But man, I you asked this question yesterday. And it's the first, because I've been operating this year, like, yeah, just make the playoffs. But now it's like, man, if that's just a goal, is just to make the playoffs. And now you're going into next year where DeMar DeRozan's 36. And I saw TCG in the chat say, well, Keegan Murray is obviously going to be that next guy. And okay, like in theory.
Yeah.
But are you ready to bet on a game in, game out basis? Keegan is going to go be as effective as Hall of Famer DeMar DeRozan? You're just ready to put that stamp right now?
No. And look, you're going to need that player either way. You're going to need the next DeMar DeRozan type player to plug mm-hmm. into this thing, or maybe you're going to need the current version of Keegan Murray if Keegan Murray does take that step.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a 3-year window or a 2.5-year window or a 2-year window with DeMar DeRozan, like once that ends, like it's not like you're just going to elevate everybody up a step and DeMar's gone and everyone will just do more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and at that point you might have two $50 million players, a $30 million player, $20 million player.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what you're looking at. Like it's very difficult to keep adding once you get to this level.
Yeah.
And that's where the challenge is.
I will say I'm fascinated by, first of all, securing a Bagley set. Are you giving up a first round pick for Bobby Portis? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the Kings are going to be picking in the back of the first round. Give them up.
Yeah.
Give up the picks.
Without any question.
F them picks. You're trying to win you're now in that window of you're trying to win a title.
Yeah.
Because even if, okay, you have your first round pick and you're going to use it, the player may or may not play.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm giving up for the proven asset that can help you get over that. It's a steep cliff or it's a steep hump to get over.
Yeah.
But like the Kings are at it where, all right, you're a really, really good team. How do you get over dude, unload the picks.
Mm-hmm.
I was there this offseason. F them picks.
Well, I think that's where they were too, but mm-hmm. I just don't think that the deal
yeah.
like material. And I think that they were also, they spent so much time swinging for the fences.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, you probably needed a strong single or another double.
Yeah.
You know, a double yeah. to, you know, sometimes you got to take a walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm really interested to see because, you know, beating the brakes off the Jazz and the Blazers is great. I'm really interested to see what they look like against Dallas, what they look like against Oklahoma City. They lost to Minnesota, but, you know, played them well. I think played a really good game in the opener.
I'm excited to see their ramped up version though. This little stretch here where they're playing bad teams. You mm-hmm. you want them to win these games, but at the same time you want them getting better every day. Mm-hmm. And so when you do face one of those teams, yeah. what do you look like then?
Yeah. And that's where we can rehash this conversation about Christmas and see how they're stacking up because maybe the calculus changes as the year goes on, but we'll continue talking about that. We'll take a look around the NBA, and the NFL trade deadline is coming up. We got to discuss that as well. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.